The Senate inquiry, it was in Melbourne yesterday, interestingly, and this is the one looking at the power of the big two supermarkets, Coles and Woolies. One of the senators who's part of that inquiry is, in fact, his office is just around the corner from where I live in Newcastle, and that's National Senator Ross Cadell, who's on the line. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Look, I'd forgotten the fact that you used to work with the mighty Newcastle Knights, the Red and Blues, Ross. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, mate, the old commercial manager back 2005, 2007. It was good times.
Yeah,
the end of Joey.
And fingers crossed for a victory on Saturday up in Townsville, Ross.
Mate, more victories to us, the better. I think we tried to play like we were at the end of last year rather than beginning season football last week, so we'll see how we go.
Right, okay. We might backtrack a couple of days, but just firstly, this stoush with Bob Catter, how did that come about, and what was the reason for that little altercation between...
Probably my fault. I went downstairs. We're upstairs. We're hearing from three farmers. We're hearing from James McClymont. We're hearing from Gay Gayetta and Ian Pearce. And these guys are shaking, almost in tears, talking about ploughing in their trees, about having to walk off the farm after 100 generations. And this is what the inquiry is about. It's about them, and it's about the people who are talking about they've got a dumpster dive to feed themselves. And we go downstairs, and there's a couple of clowns and a couple of people in pig suits making it all about them. And they finished their press conference, and I just had a crack at them for what they were doing. And Bob clearly took exception to that and wanted to get in my face, and that's him. I could have done it in a better way, but... politicians, especially one that's been on the taxpayer dime like Bob for 50 years, should have worked out by now. We're not here for ourselves, we're here for others. And it was just, I just probably reacted badly.
Right, okay. Well, he said he won't be apologising. Did you apologise to him personally? I noticed that yesterday on Sunrise you said you're sorry.
Yep. I caught him in the airport. We were on the same flight from Orange, and I caught him in the airport and I said, mate, are we good? I'm sorry if I caused any inconvenience. He couldn't even remember the incident.
Right, okay. The Senate inquiry, I mean, we've heard a lot about Coles and Woolies and the duopoly and the power, etc. And you obviously heard some terrible stories from primary producers at some of these hearings, particularly in Orange. Is this just a talk fest? I mean, we read about it, we hear about it. What can possibly happen that is going to bring down the cost of living for the average Australian?
Yeah. And that's what we got to do. The problems are clear. It is what we do afterwards. Number one, divestiture. We've got to have a big stick, not just a little stick, a big stick to say to these guys, you do the wrong thing, we're going to break you up. And that has to happen because two guys control, 65% of the market. When you're going forward than that, other things we have to do, there's a grocery code that's voluntary, not mandatory. So we have to step that up. And the other thing is it's coming through, even though it exists, all these growers and farmers and producers, they're too scared to make a report because of the punishment that they won't get their products bought or they won't get their produce bought.
When you say punishment, how do supermarkets punish growers?
Well, they own the arbiters. The arbiters are appointed by the supermarkets. So if I'm a grower and I go, I'm an old Maitland pumpkin picker, and I go along and I say, oh, these guys have done the wrong thing. They've ordered these pumpkins. They're in grade, and I've delivered them. They said they're not grade, and they're not paying for them. Then I won't get another order taken off me, right? These guys know. And that has to stop. We have to come up with a way that's proactive where people are going around and actually investigating prior to complaints. So there's some cover for the people that are getting screwed over by supermarkets.
Well, not just supermarkets. The inquiry, you were in Melbourne yesterday, and I believe commercial nurseries actually said, look, Bunnings should be brought into this inquiry because of the power that they have. Do you think that there's a strong argument there from wholesale nurseries?
Oh, probably stronger. The numbers were ridiculous. We're talking about Coles and Woolworths having 65, 66% of the market. Bunnings has 70% by itself of the plant market. So they are doing exactly the same things. They're encouraging, like, baby cabbage plants. We heard an example. You go off and grow only 10,000 plants here, only 10,000 plants here, only 10,000 plants here in a few months' time, encouraging all these people to plant stuff to buy and then not buying them all. This is intentional creation of oversupply so they can get stuff cheaper. And we heard about a grower had asked for a 25% price rise. 4 years later, they had told they wouldn't be getting it. but Bunnings had put up the retail price for you and me to go and buy it by 25 cents.
Yeah. All right. But again, what can be done, Ross, realistically?
That's the thing. It's making these codes mandatory. It's about having breakup power. And it's about having an office somewhere in the ACCC. ACCC's got the ability to go and look, but they don't have the power to enforce. And so they can go and find these guys, but then it goes through the courts for 4 years and farmers can't take it on. We have to give non-claimable, non-appealable powers to the ACCC with active investigators to get tough.
My guest, New South Wales Nationals Senator Ross Cadell, who's a part of the Senate inquiry looking into the power of Coles and Woolies, and also now perhaps Bunnings as well. That's remarkable that they've got 70% of, we're talking about, 60% with Coles and Woolies, but Bunnings even stronger from that point of view. Look, another one of the issues I know you've had a bit to say about is the transition to renewables and things like transmission lines. I've heard from a lot of property owners a lack of consultation. Now it's also the gas pipeline from Narrabri down to Newcastle. A lot of property owners not happy about gas pipelines as well as transmission lines. Again, what's the solution, Ross?
The solution is to go back to the way Australia should be, that property rights are paramount. If you don't want it, you shouldn't have it. And this was all through coal seam gas. It's now through pipeline. It's now through transmission lines. If people want the land, buy the land. If people want to have access to your land, you shouldn't be forced to give it.
Well, Peter Dutton and David Littleproud as well, the Nationals leader, are arguing, look, if we put nuclear power stations where either existing but about to be retired coal-fired power stations or ones that have already been retired, we don't need these transmission lines. You're supporting this, at least, discussion about nuclear power in Australia, Ross?
Absolutely. And I would say places like, our home patch in Liddell have to be looked at. There's water there. It's 10, 15 kilometres from Muswellbrook. I noticed there's a, down in Sydney, Lucas Heights is only 1 kilometre away from a road called Sierra Road where million-dollar houses are sold, $1.7 million houses. So, and Barnaby, throwing into this, if you can see it, it's free. If you can see the power plant, your power is free. That's a great idea. But no nation in the world other than Norway, which is topographically great for hydro, has got to net zero or can get to net zero without nuclear. And we can have all the wind farms off Port Stephens that we want, which is none. We can have all the wind farms throughout the solar, all the solar, but nothing is going to firm us up if we can't have coal and we can't have gas other than nuclear, which is the only emission-free. So forget whether you want it or not. It can't be done without affirming power creation, and the only emission-free one is nuclear.
Well, look, when the coalition were in government, it was all gas, 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 but they seem to have, dropped the whole issue of gas, gas, gas.
Well, Curry Peak has been, another up the valley. The Curry Peak is there. It is a cleaner energy than coal. But if I had my way, away from talking points, away from any coalition policy or Labor policy, remove all the benefits, all the subsidies, remove all the penalties, tell the market, create clean energy for me the way you do, emission-free energy the way you do, and let's compensate and let's give money to consumers so they can make the choice. Because government picking winners has never ended well for the you and me who have got to pay for it.
Okay, it's all very well to say give consumers the choice, but who's going to pay for it? Look, as far as I know, nobody's coming forward to build coal-fired power stations and B, nuclear, and yet a lot of companies are putting their hand up to build renewable power sources. I mean, would you be happy if it was a government outlay to build a nuclear power station?
Yeah, I would.
You think taxpayers would?
Yeah, I do, because the fact that you think we're not paying for renewables now is laughable. We've got old Bowen up there saying he'll underwrite the creation of wind farms. We will destroy Port Stephens with 285-metre towers off the coast.
How will it destroy Port Stephens, Ross?
The tourism nation, the whale migration, the environmental aspect of it. These things are bigger than Sydney Tower. And remember the blow-up around the Hunter when we talked about four gas extraction platforms off in PEP 11 off the coast? Remember the blow-up then? Now we're talking about 400 towers, 300 metres tall?
But in fairness, they're at a minimum of 20 kilometres off the coast. I mean, you're hardly
where
likely
to... Where the whales go, where the boats go, and they have to come to town. It is a destruction of a natural habitat. And Australia's big enough where there is somewhere for everywhere to be. But the other thing is, when we're talking, there is not a... They go and say, oh, there's not nuclear happening anywhere in the world, which is, we clearly know that every other OECD nation than us has it. But there isn't a viable, commercially floating wind farm anywhere in the world. It doesn't exist.
Oh.
And they're saying, no, poor
thing. Hang on. There's no commercially viable wind farm anywhere in the world.
No, floating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the ones in the British Channel, the ones elsewhere...
Yeah, they're all sitting on the seabed, yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, interesting. Okay. It's a bit of a lay day now for the Senate inquiry, isn't it, into Coles and Woolies? Where's the next stop for that, or hasn't it been decided yet?
No. It'll be in Canberra, the next one, but I'm going up to Shepparton. I'm going to see the fruit growers around there. I'm going to look at SBC Fruits today. We're on our way up there right now.
Right.
Just to get a look, because none of these processors want to talk to us. They are scared of what the ramifications are if they say stuff. So I'm going to talk to a lot of growers around Shep and get their feedback. And hopefully, once again, extending my non-welcome, go to SBC and see if they want to talk to me.
Well, good luck with that. Thanks for your time this morning. Safe travels today to Shepparton. And a tip for the score up in Townsville, the Knights and the Cowboys. Being a Knights fan, what do you reckon?
24-16 to the Knights.
Oh, good on you. All right. Have a good day, Ross, and thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
New South Wales National Senator Ross Cadell. It's